I'm Bishop Stephen Croft, and welcome to this edition of our podcast, My Extraordinary Family. And I'm here this afternoon with my friend and colleague from the Diocese of Kimberley and Kuruman, Bishop Ozzie. Ozzie, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you with us and to have you in the diocese for this week. Just yesterday, we were together in St. Paul's Cathedral, and we were present for the consecration of Bishop Olivia and also Bishop Rose, which was a momentous occasion. How did you find it?
What a blessing. What a blessing and a tremendous privilege it was to be part of that group.
Yeah. I was with you for about 7 or 8 days last year and got very strong and vivid memories. But tell us a bit about what the diocese is like.
We're rural. We're on the edge of the Kalahari and four or five big towns with lots of space sort of in between, not really great landscapes. I was talking at a school yesterday in one of the linked parishes, and I was saying how good it is for them to have a link, to be able to open a window to our youngsters from the outside who don't know about this lush green and so on. I said, it'll probably be boring, and there was Canon Nico shaking his head. He's seen the beauty of the place and helped me rediscover that, just as hopefully we'll see the beauty of this place as well. So it's a rural diocese, and one of my vicars, when we have synod, so you introduce yourself, I'm Oswald from so-and-so, he says, Modisang Bakala, vicar, deep rural parish. Lots of unemployment, poverty. But the wonderful thing is the people enjoy being church, if I can put it like that, where they enjoy coming together, walking for miles, and they together. We had, how long was the service again? It was over two hours.
Yeah, it was, at the ordination service,
Yeah, that was a short service. And I mean, they come together for the 3 hours, they're happy to be together, sometimes they eat together. So there's a great spirit. Although there's always potential for clergy to be lonely and isolated and all that goes with getting depressed.
I loved the worship of the parish I visited on a Sunday in one of the townships outside Kimberley. It was just a beautiful combination of a Eucharistic liturgy with unaccompanied singing that came from within the congregation and was just immense.
And they did the psalm as well.
Allah. Yes, that's right.
Christ Church, as it were.
Yeah, no, it was very beautiful, very beautiful. So what if you're looking back now on about 12 years of Episcopal ministry in King 13 in Kimberley and Kuruman? What have been the joys of that time?
You know, being a pastor in that situation and journeying with priests, brothers and sisters, and being in position to encourage them has been a great thing, being pastor to the pastors. I never thought that I would enjoy it as much as, you know, that bit, being pastoral and going out and traveling and spending days and so on. I'm not very good on the admin side, but it's just been good being with people, seeing how they express their faith and how they love the Lord, and despite you know being poor, let's call it what it is, and struggling to make a living, and most of them are subsistence farmers, if that's the right word, you know, living from hand.
This is the clergy themselves.
This will be the people.
Yeah.
We haven't had proper rains for a long time. Yeah. But people still being joyful and holding on to their faith, while I sometimes get very worried, you know, when things don't go well. And I've learned a lot from the people.
And one of the things I learned when I was with you, which was very moving and disturbing, was the real and present effects of climate change, a climate emergency, on South Africa at the moment.
Yes. I think it's difficult for people being far away in first world countries to realize how their way of life has an effect on us. We haven't been good ourselves. we've been talking locally, and people have started introducing paper straws and all sorts of other things that used to be one-use plastics. So there's been a kind of realization within the community that we've got to save this place for our children's children. And one of the things we're committed to, raising up the next generation. Yeah. And we can do our best to raise up the next generation, but if there's nowhere for them to be, it's a useless exercise.
Yeah. And again, I was very powerfully moved by the very vibrant youth work.
I'm very pleased about that, you know, young people are engaged and in the life of the church. I've seen other places where, you know, it's just been grown-ups, old ones, and you wonder what's going to happen sort of when they go. Mm. And we're going to try to do a little better because we've got the university in Kimberley now, and one of the things we're trying to set up is an ecumenical sort of approach to minister to the young.
What would you say towards the end of your time this link with the Diocese of Oxford has meant to Kimberley and Coromandel?
Well, on a personal level, it's been very, very encouraging to have friendships with the bishop, and that's been good. Yeah. That's one of the elements. And as I said on another occasion, I'm just sorry that our particular friendship, hopefully, will carry on another level. But that has been so short. The actual formal journey together has been very short. But that's the first thing I wanted to notice. The on that level of, you know, bishops, it's been wonderful. It's been encouraging, especially when we talk about, you know, different approaches in different to different dioceses. So for me, that's been great. On other levels, the partnership between parish to parish and projects, those have also been good, especially it's given some of our people the opportunity to discover, you know, while Oxford is very different, there are similarities, the struggles. Human beings are facing the similar kind of struggles, and hopefully we'll continue to learn from each other.
For me, because I've not travelled a great deal, particularly in Africa, and to come and be there for a short time and just have horizons widened and discover other parts to the church, and then the sense of the mutuality between the different parish projects. So this isn't simply a diocese-to-diocese link. It's a connection of significant numbers of parishes with significant numbers of parishes,
yes,
each of which brings its own blessings.
And they've all been different. And, you know, as you say, bring in their own blessings.
I don't think I've told you this, but I've told several times one of the stories of my time in Kimberley and Kuruman in the cathedral in Kimberley on the last day when we had the final service of the summit.
The Evensong.
The Evensong. And I was in the cathedral very early, as you know, and I was absolutely delighted to discover a group of young people exploring the doctrine of the Trinity as part of their catechesis, as part of their learning about faith, because I'm a great enthusiast for catechesis, and people keep telling me not to use the word because it's not a very friendly word, but it just means people learning about faith and preparing for confirmation. And the traditional time for catechesis in the Church of England in the 16th and 17th centuries was around the time of Evensong in the 18th centuries. And that's a practice that has fallen away here, but I rediscovered it in the heart of the cathedral in Kimberley just before Evensong. So it's very moving to do that, really. And what have been the challenges for you in this period of ministry?
Again, mostly clergy care.
Yeah.
Where isolation, loneliness have been really, really a big thing. Mm. It's always been a challenge to redeploy and move clergy, finding the right placements for them, the diocese being diverse in also on one level. We've have transport problems. So really most of my work is centered around clergy care. The other bit was to do with admin and trying to look very well after our resources and making sure that we put in place an administration which is trusted by the people so that they are happy to give freely and trust that we won't misuse or spend the resources in an unwise manner. Training has been a challenge as well. Clergy training, we've managed to, you know, work hard on that. But I've discovered that many people are involved and a few know really what the church and structures are all about. So that has been an area challenged us. And again, we are working on that through a dedicated officer. While things have moved a little bit because, again, a shortage of staff. He's got a parish, our training advisor's got a parish to look after. But right. We're keeping our eye on that so that hopefully we'll move to a place again where we have a dedicated person for training.
Always in these podcast talks, I end with our diocesan vision, Ossie, which is, as you know, to be a more Christ-like church for the sake of God's world, more contemplative, more compassionate and more courageous. Are you learning particular things about being more contemplative, particularly as you look forward to the next part of life and ministry?
That's been good, again, being in partnership, to be reminded about not being too busy doing church and all those things, because in a demanding task like that, one tend to get really immersed and absorbed by this. But it's been good to remind ourselves that we need to be sort of contemplative. What are we on about? I think it's my Twitter, what do you say, profile. I say there, Bishop in the Anglican Church on the edge of the desert trying to make sense, something like that, of what it means to be church on the edge of the diocese. If we're not able to stop, reflect, pray, and do that in a corporate fashion as well, it will be disastrous. So we've been quite intentional, and I'm talking about myself as well, in giving priority to that part of your vision, to be a contemplative church. There's so many things happening which, you know, keep us busy. We've had all this xenophobic things and gender-based violence and femicide, kind of.
And big civil disturbances last time I saw you.
Yes. And
you were in the middle of riots, weren't you?
That's right. There's a massive, massive blanket of uncertainty as far as the political field is concerned. And we can get too much involvement. I mean, that's not bad, but you know, you forget to think, stop, pray, reflect.
We will pray for you as you go on the next part of your journey, and also pray for the election of your successor, which you were saying on Saturday can be quite a lively and demanding process. Bishop Ossie, would you pray for us as the final part of this podcast now?
Happy to do that. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your generosity has no bounds. We thank you that you have created us to be in fellowship with you and with one another, and that you give us good friends to meet along the way. We give you thanks for this Diocese of Oxford and for our journey together over the past 25 years or so. And we give you thanks for the commitment of the bishops who have journeyed with us. And we thank you especially for Bishop Stephen as he leads this diocese. We bless and praise you for the wonderful occasion of the ordination, consecration of Olivia as Bishop of Reading. And we ask your special blessing on her, as she will be particularly responsible for the partnership of portfolio of the diocese. And we pray that we will continue to be blessed through her ministry in that area. God, as we celebrate this journey together. We pray for our diocese too as they go into elections early next year. May your people hear what you have to say to them, and may they be courageous in accepting that brief. May we all see each other as members created in your image, and that we all matter, so that in our work and ministry we may be able to affirm each other as we journey together. This we pray in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. 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 Bishop Ozzie, lovely to talk together. Thank you so much, and thank you for being part of, in an extended way, this extraordinary family.
Thank you.